You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What is tafkid, the purpose of Klal Yisrael when it comes to their functional role in this world? What is their responsibility to themselves? What is their responsibility to all of the nations on the face of this earth? Do we have direction when it comes to this specific concept? And if we do have direction when it comes to this specific concept, as I'm going to demonstrate, historically and halakhically, how does this impact upon especially the tefillos we recite during the Yom HaRayim from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippurim, even including to some tefillos we recite as well, and activities we do in the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tov of Sukkot? How does this all fit together? How do we understand what we're praying for, what we're working for? So listen carefully as I make the presentation this morning, and hopefully, Me'ez Hashem, as we daven during the Yom HaRayim and during Sukkot as well, we'll have an understanding of what the responsibility we have when it comes to the tefillos we're supposed to be praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a famous group of psukim, one of which I'll mention right now, which tells us, Zechariah mas olam bin ishnos dar v'dar, that we have a responsibility to analyze the historical record of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, understand what took place and why it took place, as a way of quite obviously comprehending from the past to give us an indication how we should conduct ourselves in the future. There's a Maimer Chazal quoted by the Ramban and others in the Perish to Sefer Bereishis, Masa Avos Simon Labanim, whatever Avos did when it came to dealing with various types of phenomena that confronted them in this world, whatever the Avos did together with the Imos, they are a role model for us for the future of how we should conduct ourselves when it comes with dealing with the similar issues in all the future generations as well. The Masa Avos is a simon to the Bonim, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves confronted by the various issues that our Avos were confronted with in our 21st century and further. So this is an important factor. If we go into the Chumash and Sefer Bereishis, you ask yourself the following question. The world was created, and the first human beings were Adam v'Chava, and their children were created. But what's interesting to note is that Adam v'Chava were not picked to be the ultimate human beings from which Klal Yisrael would develop later on. It didn't happen from them directly. Indirectly it did, because all human beings come from Adam v'Chava, but Adam v'Chava were not cited to be the ones chosen, that their Ma'aseh Avos should be the way Klal Yisrael would be ultimately created later on. And this continued despite the righteousness of the various few individuals that lived in the world at that time, from the 10 generations, from Adam HaRishon to Noach, the one that's cited to be on some level of religious spirituality was Noach, Ubanav, Noach and his children, his family, his nuclear family. Hashem told him that you're a tzaddik lefanai b'dar hazeh, and despite their spiritual capacities, despite the fact they were the only group of people saved from the Mabul, the Torah never said that ultimately the Klal Yisrael that's going to come into this world later on is going to emanate from Noach Ubanav as them being the inspiration for what's going to create Klal Yisrael later on. They were not chosen as the Ma'aseh Avos Simon Labanim when it comes to the ultimate creation of Klal Yisrael. And as we go further in the Ma'amar Chazal, it took another 10 generations from Noach to Avram Avinu till finally Avram and Sarah came on the scene. And as I'm going to show you very shortly, Avram and Sarah ultimately were picked to become spiritual leaders in their generation and to become the spiritual progenitors of the future generation of people following in their specific derech. They were the pioneers of what's going to become Klal Yisrael later on. they are going to be the mice of Isim and Labogim, as Chazal referred to them on a very continual, ongoing basis. And you'll ask me the question, what did they do, Avram and Sarah, that made them different, that made them stand out, that Hashem chose them after almost 2,000 years from Bryas Olam to be that husband and wife and small group of people that are going to ultimately be the ones that set the tone for the ultimate creation of Klal Yisrael and Kabbalah HaTorah and the creation of the Am HaNivchar of the Jewish people. What did Aram Sarah do that made them stand out in contradistinction to all the other singular tzaddikim that lived in the world up until that point in time? So I'm going to share that with you today. And based upon my formulation, I'll demonstrate how important this is when it comes to defining our purpose in this world, our tafkud, on a personal level and on an international level as well. Chazal tell us the following. If you look at the commands that Hashem gave to Adam v'Chava on a spiritual level from the beginning of Briyat Olam, Chazal point out there were various commands that were given to set the tone of spiritual responsibility human beings have in this world to make sure that the level of sanctity and kedusha that exists in this world represents that Tzelem Elokim God created each and every man of mankind with. We have to, because of that Tzelem Elokim, that spiritual essence of God that has been placed in each and every one of us, develop a spiritual ideology to maintain spirituality in this world, besides being creative on a technological, physical level. In fact, there's a pasuk in the Chumash, which Rav Hirsch points out, when Hashem told Adam HaRishon, La'avdu u'lishamra, I want to do avodas olam and shmiras olam. He interprets that to mean, avodas olam means, use your tzelem elokim, your divine mindset that I gave you, your micro of my macro tzelem elokim, to use your intellectual capacities and your creativity to do things that are beneficial to mankind on a technological level. Use your brain power to make life on the face of this planet something that's very, very effective to help mankind maximize their energies, their potentials that Hashem gave them from the time of Briyat Olam. So the Avda is the physical, technological activities of our activities on the face of this earth. Shamra, Rav Hirsch says, refers to the Shmira, the preservation of the spiritual essence of the universe that Hashem created from Briyat Olam. We have to preserve that spiritual essence, watch it, guard it, take care of it, make sure that it functions properly for human beings to be able to understand that the Tzelem Elokim has a spiritual side to it besides its technological side. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us various sivuyim at the time of Briyat Adam, Adam v'Chava, that I want to mention over here. Number one, the Rabbeinu Shem gave the first command mentioned explicitly in the Torah is to eat Isur, eating the Eitz Hadas Tevara, which, you know, quite obviously is foolish in the actual Torah itself. You can eat everything else that's vegetative in nature. Animals cannot be consumed until the Tekufa of after the Mabul by Noach. So everybody was a vegetarian up until that point in time, at least they were supposed to be. But besides the Isa Achilas Eitz Adas Tevara, Hashem gave Adam v'Chava the Zayi Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the six laws of B'nei Noach, which I just want to mention quickly, so just to refresh your memory, the following six of the seven Zayi Mitzvah B'nei Noach were mentioned to Adam HaRishon and Chava, as the Rambam says, in the ninth chapter of Hilchos Malachim, Avodah Zarah, the Issa of idolatry, Birchat Hashem, the prohibition of cursing Hashem's name, Al Shvichas Damim, the Issa of murder, Gilui Arayos, the prohibition of sexual perversities, Gezel, robbery, thievery, Dinim. Over here are the two interpretations of this. Number one, to set up a court system to make sure there's a fear of law and justice in this world, there's an accountability to judges, that you behave yourself and observe Zaymisis b'nei Noach. That's the way the Rambam learns the din of dinim. The Ramban points in his Perish to Chumash and Pashas Vayishlach. They also had the responsibility to establish their own Chosha Mishpat, making rules and regulations that will therefore give definition of how people are supposed to function in the society at large, interact with other human beings on a personal level, on a commercial level, on an institutional level. So there should be law and order in society itself. Furthermore, one other mitzvah was given, but it wasn't really applicable at that time to Adam and Chava because they couldn't eat men anyway, is that even if an animal dies by itself, you didn't kill it, they were not, halacha lamasa, according to halacha, allowed as Adam and Chava, according to the Rambam's interpretation, to eat meat even though it came from a dead animal. And therefore, the concept of Eiver Menachai, taking a live animal and ripping one of its organs off when the animal's alive to consume it, that Issa only became applicable when Hashem gave Noach and the world from that time on, after the Malbuth, the permission to kill animals for the sake of food consumption. So Noach was told, you can kill the animals and eat them, but you can't tear off a live aver, a body part of the animal, and eat it when the animal is still alive and subjected to incredible, intense tzar bale chayim. That's the Issa Eiver Menachai. So these are rules and regulations that the non-Jewish world have that apply according to halacha to this very day. To this very day. Now, besides that, there is another concept which is mentioned by Rav Yehuda Halevi in his Kuzari, and that is Hashem wanted mankind to develop what's called an Inyan Eloki, a certain spiritual sensitivity to what is taking place in this world, to develop a connectivity between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sense Hashem's divine presence continuously, 24/7, when you're awake, when you basically have the cognizance to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show your loyalty to Hashem, to show your consideration and concern for Hashem's desires, what He wants us to do in this world, a continual connection to whatever you do, to relate how God wants you to act in these situations based upon the spiritual essence Hashem gave you with His Selam Elokim. A fourth concept, which was not so articulated initially, but later on we see that people received a reward for this, is the concept of feeling responsibility, physical and spiritual responsibility for a fellow human being. A sense of achrayut to what happens to our fellow human being when it comes to society at large. In actuality, what I'm pointing out is the initial divine plan of how the world was going to exist was the hope that there are going to be people who not only are particularists when it comes to their own spiritual development and spiritual performance of their mitzvahs and connection to God, but there was a concern that people should also be universalists, be concerned with the health and welfare spiritually and physically of mankind who are living in the same world with him at that point in time. And Chazal point out that the performance of all these four concepts with a total shleimus and a certain sense of being very meticulous in performance for the first 2,000 years of the existence of Briyas Olam, the Gemara says it was tohu, it was very, very haphazard. There wasn't really a definitive force guiding and gearing the world in the direction of adherence to all these four concepts. And what changed the situation? Towards the end of the first 2,000 years, Avram and Sarah came into this world, and this made all the difference that there could possibly be. Chazal point out what showed the difference between Avram and Sarah. Not only did they show their meticulous performance and observance of the Zaymisis B'nai Noach, not only, as Rehuda Levi points out, did they show their concern to develop the most intimate connection they could possibly have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and perform Inin Eloki on a very high, intensive, and very, very powerful level. And there's no question Sarah and Avraham were literally caught up with the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every minute of their life and dedicated their life to being Oved Hashem and Davenit Hashem and showing loyalty to Hashem on the highest level possible. But also they did something else. The Pasuk says in the Chumash, Avraham and Sarah performed HaNefesh HaShe'asu B'chara. Even when they were still in Iraq on Eva, Hayarday, before they ultimately went to Eretz Canaan on the Tzav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were involved in spiritually bringing people from the world around them to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reject the idolatry that had developed in the world during the first 2,000 years of the world's existence, to bring them close to Hashem, to teach them the Zayin Mitzvahs once again, to show that there should be a desire by you, since you were created by God, to be Oved Hashem, to have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah uses the expression that the nefashos that they created in Haran, they made us into new people. People that up until now were idolaters and were and worshipped all different types of incredible, crazy Avodah Zarah. They were able to eradicate their hashgafis of Avodah Zarah polytheism and make them pure monotheists under their supervision. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that of all mankind from the beginning of Briyat HaOlam up until Avraham and Sarah, his full divine plan of spiritual activities in this world and spiritual leadership and guidance had not found total fulfillment, when he saw that Avraham and Sarah came around and became spiritual iconoclasts and started to show Hashem that there are people on the face of this earth, namely Avraham and Sarah, and those who are a part of their base of the household, who likewise have shown they have all four concepts at their disposal, and especially the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Inyan Eloki, and being concerned with the universalistic needs and necessities of the world at large when it comes to their spiritual needs, direction, how to worship God and what God wants from us, and the loyalty we're supposed to have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he saw Avraham and Sarah's success in bringing people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and weaning them away from the idolatry of their period of time, Hashem addresses Avraham in Parshas Lech Lecha, and I want to read you just a couple of psukim to bring you into this very, very quickly. It was at the age of 99 years of age that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw what Avraham and Sarah had done, Hashem comes to Avraham and says to him, Ani Kel Shakai, I'm the powerful God of creation of this universe. His halakha fun of a hey tamim, I want you to continue in your spiritual elevation, become as spiritually perfect as you possibly can and spiritually dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This tamim is a play on the mitzvah later on in the Torah of tamim ti Hashem Elokecha, found in Parshas Shoftim. And as a result of your spiritual elevation, et nebrisi b'ni b'necha, a special covenant will be made between me and you. Abba Yisrael Ma'od Ma'od, I'm going to make you be the progenitor of great nations later on. When Avram heard this, Hashem then said, Hine brisi itoch, I'm making a special covenant, and the result is going to be Hayisal Av Hamangayim. I'm now giving you an official mantle of leadership. Well, up until now, you did this of your own free will to bring people close to Hashem and feel responsibility for their spiritual, physical development in this world. Henceforth, I'm giving you now a mission, a divine command. You're going to be the father of the nations of the world, being concerned with the health and welfare on a spiritual level, on a physical level, and to show that I mean this sincerely. And there's a real change now. Your name up until now was Avram. Your name now is going to be changed to Avraham. Ki av hamangoyim nesaticha. I'm now giving you a divine mission that besides your particular activities of your own spiritual growth and dedication and connection to Hashem, especially the inyan eloki that you have, you now are going to be made an official source of universal activity of spiritual and physical perfection. You're now going to be the universalist par excellence, and that's going to be part of your spiritual mission of what you have to do in this world when it comes to your functional duties. Hashem says, I'm going to make many nations, Molochim, come from you. I'm going to, quite obviously, give you as a special matana, the most spiritual place on the face of this earth to be the homeland of you and your children and all future generations. And that is Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel. It's giving it to you and the children that come after you. L'chol zarecha, I'm giving you Eretz Canaan, Achuz es Olam, an eternal possession. And there I will be with you very intensely, communicated with the Shekhinah of Hashem. That's in that location. That's where you're going to function from, to be connected to me in the holiest land on the face of this earth. And that is Eretz Israel. One other thing Hashem did for Abraham to make him different from the rest of the world is he was mezakeh him with one powerful mitzvah at that point in time, which no other human being had up until that point in time. He gave him the mitzvah of bris milah, of circumcision. Avram and his progeny from that point on had to perform this mitzvah. This was the extra mitzvah he commanded Avram and his mishpacha to do up and above the Zayin Mitzvah Noach, which were given to all society up until that specific point in time. Chazal tell us that the bris milah is so powerful. Hashem made a divine covenant with bris milah, not just one covenant, but the Gemara says in the Nedarim, 13 covenants were made with Avraham because of the bris milah and the mesiras nefesh involved in performing circumcision. That therefore was the way that Hashem elevated Avraham at that point in time, gave him more kedusha, more sanctity than the rest of mankind at that period of time. Avram and Sarah at that time, even though they were given this position, were not given Kedushas Israel yet on the level we have. That phenomenon only took place, Chazal tell us later, at Har Sinai, when all the children of Klal Yisrael, when they left Egypt, came from Har Sinai, before Hashem gave us the Torah and the Aseres HaDibros. We had to undergo a full-fledged spiritual conversion, like Gerim, and we therefore had to go through a special circumcision for the sake of Gir Kahalacha. We had to go to mikveh like Gerim do today. Karbonos, the people should bring when you become a Ger, were brought at that point in time. Klaris will mekava omach shemayim and oha mitzis at Har Sinai, nasev nishma. And therefore, at that time, that metamorphosis granted Klal Yisrael a kedushas hamitzvahs. Kedusha as Klal Yisrael was given a higher level of Tzelem Elokim than existed for the rest of the world. And therefore, that's when the concretization of what Klal Yisrael were going to become, and they did become, came into being. In Avram's time, the bris milah allowed him to elevate himself spiritually and come closer to Hashem, but the ultimate realization of that Aliyah and Kedusha was only realized later on by his children at Matan Torah, right before Kabbalah's Torah v'Mitzvahs. What's interesting to note is Hashem, therefore, was telling Abraham that I want all functionalities that you had up until now to be personified by you and Sarah and all the members of your mishpacha, but I not only want you to, quite obviously, do this yourself, I want you to spread Hashem's spiritual message to the world at large. The world was supposed to be Maminim and HaKadosh Baruch, who's supposed to be monotheist, not polytheist, worshipping idolatry. Your mission is to wean them away from this type of activity, bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Avamangayim, of you being a universalist, besides being a particularist, is now brought into being as an official concept. The Bris Milah was to enhance Avram's spirituality, besides Zayin Mitzvahs. Therefore, that was, the Bris Milah was a particularist type of activity. When it comes, quite obviously, to the concept of the Yesod and principle of being a person who's Avam and Goyim, That was the universalist concept that Hashem gave to Abraham and Sarah at that point in time as an official title of reference of what they have to do. Now, I do want to mention to you that the Netziv on that parsha in the Chumash points out that this one-time mandate of being both a particularist and universalist set the stage for the persona of what Klal Yisrael was supposed to become later generations, and was made as a pronouncement to Klal Yisrael, a Kabbalah Satar HaSinai. Before Hashem gave us the Aseres HaDibros, he told Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael the following message. V'atem ti'ilim ha'melechas kohen ve'ikar kadosh. I want you to be a nation of priests and a holy nation. And the way this is interpreted by the Netziv, interpreted earlier by the Sephorno, mentioned later on by many of the Gedolim who dealt with this topic, what this means is Klal Yisrael were given this double mission as well, to become Klal Yisrael, and told that to be Klal Yisrael, you have to accept these two missions upon yourself. As a Gai Kadosh, what that means is you have to be particularist and elevate yourself in spirituality by now being Mekadish yourself, performing Tayyag Mitzvahs. The famous Mishnah says, Rots HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachkis Yisrael, Hashem wanted to mezakah Klal Yisrael and elevate them. He then gave them Teira V'mitzvahs to spiritually elevate themselves. If Zayin Mitzvahs are Mekadosh, imagine what 613 Mitzvahs are able to Mekadosh. And that's why before we do Mitzvahs, the Bracha says, Asher Kiddushanu V'mitzvahsav. Mitzvahs are a format of sanctification. How Klal Yisrael sanctifies themselves and elevates themselves. Klal Yisrael were told, for you to be accepted as my Amma Nivchar, to be Chayv and Terev and Mitzvahs, become the Am Segula, you have to accept upon yourself the dual mission of being particularist in your own spiritual development as the Gai Kadosh, and a universalist, bringing the world back to their responsibility of being B'nai Noach, not to be Jews, to be B'nai Noach and observe the Zayin Mitzvahs, and adhere to the concepts Hashkafli that Hashem wants the whole world to do when it comes to the relationship to Hashem. If you accept these two responsibilities of being a particularist, universalist, you can become Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, they accepted this dual role from that time, extending the role model example of Avram v'Sara, my Avos and Labanim, of making that their mission in this world from that point in time to the end of time. So we therefore see, according to Chazal, that the concept of what Avram and Sarah did, would serve as the role model example of myself, Simila Banim, set the stage what Klal Yisrael's responsibility in the world is when they became the Am Nivcha many years later on at the time of Kabbalah Satira. Now, with this in mind, that's why Chazal called Klal Yisrael in the Navi, in Sefer Yeshayahu, an Or LaGoyim, a spiritual light to the nations of the world. Now, what I want to point out to you is quite interesting, that the Rambam, who normally in the Mishnah Torah, who doesn't really discuss Jewish history, he discusses Halacha, that's his Sefer and Halacha, that's his Shulchan Aruch that he wrote. When it comes to Avram's methodology, how he's Makar of people, he takes off time from writing up the Halachos and gives a very quick historical record. That when Avram tried to Makar of people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Sarah, as part of his mission, Avram and Gan Nesaticha, he did three things. Number one, he spoke to people to try to convince them with lectures and debates of his efficacy of why monotheism is what Hashem wants us to be and basically forsake the polytheism of idolatry. So he spoke. He was walking around from place to place. You see him continuously traveling in the Chumash. Each place he went, he gave a lecture. Number two, to show the efficacy that you have to be a monotheist and can't believe in this stupid idolatry, used to break the idols they were worshiping in that location in front of the eyes of the population and said to the population, if this is a god and has power, why am I not being punished by this god for destroying it? The answer is, it's not a god and it has no divine power. And people lie to you, claiming that it does. So he therefore showed a willingness to even momentarily put his life in danger to damage and destroy their gods, their false gods, to show the efficacy. Only monotheism is what you're supposed to be, believing in one God, and not to believe in these idols, these Eitzim Vavonim, you've given divine power to, which is false. And the third thing he did, Chazal tell us, is that people should have a remembrance of what he taught them. He wrote up articles, which he left in each and every place he wrote, to therefore make sure that even when he leaves, people can review the basic comments of why there should be monotheists. Not only that, people who might not have been at the lecture can read the notes of what he had told the people who were present. And by doing this, the Rambam says, in his time, there were tens and tens of thousands of people on the face of this earth that came in contact with Avram, by him going from place to place. He was makar of them to monotheism, to avodas Hashem, only God do we worship, observance as I miss b'nei Noach, trying to develop your own inyan eloki with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the work of Avram Avinu and Sarah going back to that time, and that's what Chazal tell us is our mitzvah ad hayom hazeh. There's a very famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. With Chasam Sofer passes in that tshuva that there's a chayv upon Klal Yisrael lahoyrais la'umas olam the mitzvahs of Zayin b'nei Noach. The Klal has to teach the non-Jewish world what the Zayin mitzvahs are, to teach it to them, they should understand and realize what their spiritual responsibilities are. Chazal tell us that this dates back to the time of Moshe being Mekabel Torah from Hashem and Har Sinai, that the Rambam says when he came down from Har Sinai, not only did Moshe teach Klal Yisrael their Tayag Mitzvahs, Torah Sivol and Moshe, Moresh Gilas Yaakov, but he also had a mandate from God to teach the non-Jewish world and remind them once again the responsibility of Zayin Mitzvahs that were taught from the beginning of the world to Adam and Chava, to Chazal the Sofer once again tell the world as Hashem's divine prophet, you have a responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch to observe Zayin Mitzvahs. So Moshe did it then. We as Klal Yisrael, as our mandate from Har Sinai, have to continually to do this, as the Chasam Sofer Paskins and other Gedolim bring this down as well. One of the Gedolim in the world who made an entire year mission in doing this intensely was the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, who had 1 year dedicated by his shluchim all over the face of this globe, where they are, in the Chabad houses, to reach out to the Goyim and make that year the year of teaching the world the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So this concept of being a universalist is part and parcel of our achrayus of being Klal Yisrael itself.
You are listening
so
to
Ben's Torah. So you say to me, that's very nice, Rabbi, but what does it have to do with the part of the topic you're talking about and the concept of what we daven on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot? What is the relevance of this? So what I want to share with you today is that if in fact you take the time and effort to look into the machzor you're going to be davening from when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and many of the tefillos and the activities we perform when it comes even afterwards of Yom Tov of Sukkot, especially the Nisach HaMayim, which is a special korban that we basically did in the Beis HaMikdash during Sukkot, and all the various animals we brought to the Beis HaMikdash and Hakrevas HaKarban. Chazal said the number of animals corresponded to the Shivim Amin, to the 70 nations on the face of this earth. In all of these Avedas, what I'm going to show you very shortly, not only did we daven on the Yom Nerayim for the health and welfare and spiritual, physical salvation and success of Klal Yisrael, which we surely do, but believe it or not, I'm showing you in the Nusach HaTfilah, we likewise davened for the health and welfare, physically and spiritually, of the entire world at large. Chazal tell us in the Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that when it comes to the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, people mistakenly think, both Jew and non-Jew, it's only a day of judgment for the Jewish people. But Chazal tell us in the Mishneic source from Tanoim Matera Shabal Peh, but Rosh Hashanah you should realize, Kol Boyo Olam Oivrim Lefanav, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Klal Yisrael pass in front of the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem, not only Klal Yisrael, Kol Olam, all people living in this world, as sheep pass in front of their shepherd, Shenemar Hayotzi Yachalibam, Mavin Kol Ma'aseim Hashem created us, he knows exactly what all of us are doing, Jew and non-Jew, and therefore the Yemei HaDin of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and even Sukkot, is the Yemei HaDin not only for the Jewish people, but for the entire world in which we live. It's a day of judgment to everybody living in this world, Jew and non-Jew alike, something we have to mafarsim, something we have to tell people. People used to, friends of mine who are non-Jewish people that I deal with on a professional level, wish me a happy holiday for Rosh Hashanah. I say to them, it's not only my holiday, but listen, it's your holiday as well. It's a day of judgment for all of us. When we pray not only as particularists for ourselves, but we're praying also as universalists with a concern for the health and welfare of the society in which we live as members of humankind. Now, to highlight this, I'm going to point out the following. If you look at the major themes we have contained in the Tfilos of Yom Nevi'im, the real major themes you can see projected in the Tfilos we recite on Rosh Hashanah, and in particular, the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, at which time not only do we daven Musaf and we recite the Malchios, the Zichronis, the Shofros, we blow a shofar, and we make certain statements in that Musaf, as well as the other Tfilos that I want to highlight today to back up my basic concept and share with you this morning when it comes to our Tavkid, our Echrayis. When we basically blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what are we doing? So the Gemara says one of the purposes of the shofar is that when a melech was installed, he used to blow the shofar to announce the establishment of the monarchy in this world by such and such a king. The Kisa Shofar is a way of being mamlech a melech, etc., etc. The Chazal say, when we're therefore blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah as part of Atilas Hashem, but once again, in the beginning of the year, being mamlech melechim, acknowledging the fact that Hashem is our melech, Hashem is our king, king of not only the Jewish people, but the king of the entire world, all of mankind. His malchus is now being recognized once again by observance of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, and this has international significance and importance. It's not just important to the Jews, but it has international significance that the world should realize there's one king, the Melech Malchei Melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is in control of everything that takes place in this earth, from the creation of the earth, from the beginning of Briyat HaOlam, and the continual maintenance and creation of the world every day of the year, as we say in our Tfilos. Hashem is Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov Masa Bereishis. Hashem continues to recreate the world every day that the world exists. So humanity has a solid piece of land to live upon and to flourish in and to do the Avedas Hashem during the specific lifetimes. Hashem is doing this for all mankind, not only for Klal Yisrael alone. And therefore, if that's the case, what Klal Yisrael do in our davening, was he therefore also make a specific group of statements. The Balchi is the Chronos V'Shofros, which is a big part of the Nusach Tzila of Rosh Hashanah. Chazal tell us they correspond to the following. When we describe Malchios, we're proclaiming the existence of God, the singular existence of God, that He's the Melech Machmalachim. He's the only Melech. We say Melech HaKadosh in all the tefillahs we recite during this period of time. Not HaKel HaKadosh, but Melech HaKadosh. One of the reasons for going to Tashlich is when they used to make a Melech a king, they used to do it by a water, flowing water. Same water flows. It's a siman tov that the malchus of this king should flow forward by doing it symbolically by a river, by a body of water. It comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu saying that the flow of Hashem's divine malchus in this world should be perceived by the world as an ongoing flowing phenomenon that people should feel and see. All of this is symbolic. And what is the message of the malchias, the zichronis, the shofros? Number one, that God exists, and that's the only God you have to be concerned about, and the God you're supposed to worship exclusively, the concept of pure monotheism. Number two, when we blow the concept of Zichronos, we're basically mentioning our belief that God has Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, and as the Mishnah said in Rosh Hashanah, He observes the activities of everybody in this world, Jew and non-Jew alike, total divine supervision, divine providence, watching all over us, Hashgacha Pratis, that's the Zichronos, and the Shofros, which is a sign of power, indicates the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch when it comes to Sechav Onesh. God has a way of rewarding those who observe his mitzvahs and are dedicated to him. God has his divine ways of punishing those people who rebel against God and rebel against the rule of God or don't even believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever their rebellion is, Hashem pays them back over time, as we see in the various narratives, not only of the Chumash, but the entire Tanakh from beginning to end. These concepts we're not only reciting for ourselves, but we're supposed to publicize these concepts to the nations of the world as well, that there's an ayin roa, an eye that sees everything we do, oizen shamas, an ear that hears, kolmasef esefin echtavim, all that we do is recorded in the divine recorder above, and Chazal tell us it's played back to us when we leave this world of 120 years and we come in front of the court in Shemayim, the Bezdin Shemayla. This tape of your life, this is your life, is played in front of you, and you have to give din to Cheshbon why you did this, why you did that, the good and the bad. So there's a day of ultimately that you have to answer in front of the Bezdin Shemayla. Slave Dov HaKal Nishma, the Pasuk says at the end of Koheles, at the end everything will be heard. And therefore, you have to make sure that if there are problems in that record, you correct them with tshuva in this world, and ma'asim tovim, and tzedakah, and tefillah. And if you do that, at the end of time, this will be deleted from your divine record, and you will not have to answer it. So the concept of tshuva, and the erasure of the bad, and the enforcement of the good, Chazal said, you do tshuva mi'avas, I taught you a couple of weeks ago, the zadon becomes a zochios. The Avera is deleted, and all of a sudden you have tremendous zechuyas in Shemayim, for having done this tshuva mi'ava. So Chazal therefore tell us that when it comes to the themes of the tefillah, not only do we see the particular interests of Klal Yisrael being mentioned, but the universalist concept of how important it is for us to therefore make sure the whole world feels the fear and trepidation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yom HaDin. The nusach of the tefillah we find in our tefillahs especially, on the Yom Narayim, V'chein Tein Pachtuch, it says in the Shemana Esrei, that Hashem should put his fear, Hashem Elokeinu, Al Kol Ma'asecha, on all the creatures, all the human beings on the face of this world. Eimosk Al Kol Ma'ashe Barasa, they shall have a fear and trepidation for you. Yeruch Al Kol Ma'asem, all the creatures should have a fear and trepidation off of Hashem. Yishtafu Nechol Habrum, the only God they should bow down to is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yasu Kulam Achas, that the whole world should become one human community worshiping one God. La'asos v'tzonucha b'lev v'sholem, do your divine will. Kamoshi Adana, as we know, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashaltu l'fanecha, you have the divine power no other entity has. Oiz b'yadcha, strength is in your hand. Gvur b'yamecha, power and strength is in your right hand. Shimcha noira kol ma'asher barasa, your name inspires tremendous awe amongst all the creatures you created on the face of this earth. And therefore we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this recognition should become known to the world at large. Therefore, ten kavod Hashem la'amecha, tila l'recha, tikva toiva l'darshecha. Hashem should give us Klais all the strength to be able to publicize this. Piska pele mi'achim alach, simchucha atzecha, sal l'recha, Eretz Yisrael should have simcha v'sasam from the spiritual essence of that land. Smichas Karen Dov Meshech the Mashiach Shekam, and by doing that, the concepts of the Messianic era should come into fulfillment, as Chazal described what's going to happen at that specific point in time. Timlech Atah Shem Levadecha Kamasecha. Ultimately, at the end of time, people will see the Malchus of Hashem being the exclusive kingdom of Hashem in this world. They'll see it be Rishlaim Irakidesh, seeing be Mishkan Kavodecha. It says, all of this will be seen and revealed when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash in the time of the Mashiach. In fact, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Ki Beis the Beis Tefila Kol Ha'amim, that the Beis HaMikdash will be the only house of God that exists universally in this world, that people can come and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a very intense level. All the other public venues that were created for other gods, other deities, will be eliminated. The Beis HaMikdash will be the only place, the central location for the prayer to God that's going to take place in the time to come. And in fact, when you look in the Rambam's description of what's going to happen when it comes to the Moshe Mashiach, when the Moshe Mashiach comes, the Rambam basically emphasizes and concretizes what I mentioned today, that when it comes to the Emos and Mashiach, when Klaus will no longer be subjugated to the anti-Semitism craziness in this world, anti-Semitism will be eliminated, people will live together ba'achdus, as we just mentioned, in the Nusach HaTfilah, there'll be total shalom and peace existing in the entire world where humanity basically inhabit. Besides that, the world will have the parnosa, the economy they need to be able to support themselves sufficiently. The concept of unfortunate poverty or other stuff will be eliminated, as the Rambam says, when it comes to the era of Yemos HaMashiach and after that. But besides all of that, the Rambam says, what is mankind going to do in this period of Mashiachias, our extra time that we have available? Everybody on their level will pursue spiritual learnings and teachings that relate to their responsibility when it comes to their Avedus Hashem. The Jews will do what they have to do from their Torah that was given to them. The non-Jews will do their part in studying the Torah that was given to them specifically. And when they have questions of what their Torah means, the non-Jewish world, will come to us for further elaboration, further expression and understanding. So in actuality, Klal Yisrael at the end, Yemos HaMashiach, will not only be involved in their particularist spiritual endeavors, but there will be super universal spreading the world of God to all the nations of the world, living in harmony, worshiping only one God in the face of this earth, recognizing the Malchus of Hashem, and therefore preparing ourselves for the ideal existence of what the world was created for initially through the efforts of Klal Yisrael being the Or LaGoyim, doing our responsibilities we have on the international, universal level to the Umas Eilam, being their teachers and mentors in Or LaGoyim. Our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur emphasize this concept. Mamish, they emphasize this on a very, very intense level. You find expressions of this. If you look at the piyutim you're going to be reciting now, once I told you this, you look and you shall see how many of the piyutim and tefillahs we daven are basically representative of this specific yesod, this specific concept. And therefore, in one of the most beautiful tefillahs we recite each and every day, in fact, we recite it three times a day, the Oleinu L'Shabeach, that many Mefarshim say was established by Yehoshua later on in his writings, that in this Oleinu L'Shabeach, when you look at the Nusach HaTfilah and on Rosh Hashanah, the Oleinu L'Shabeach is highlighted. And on Yom Kippur, in the Nusach of the Musa service, we recite on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. It says, "Akein Nakavla Hashem Elokeinu." We therefore hoping Leros Behaber Seferis Zecha L'Havi Gulum Aretz, the eradication of idolatry from the face of this earth, and the strengthening of monotheism to take place. Alilum Kodesh Yukareson. The whole concept of false gods will be eliminated. And what's going to be the thrust of society? L'sakin olam b'malchus shakeh. The whole world will be established under the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol b'nei basa yikru b'shmecha. The whole world will call only by your name. And therefore go away from any type of negative that's been up until now. Yakir v'yedu kol yoshei sevel. The whole world will recognize. Kil chot tikra kol berach tishol lashon. It's only to you they should bow down and swear in your name, God, in no other type of entity. And everybody will therefore have the homage and respect they have to have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kavod Shimcha, Yikar Teinu, Yikabu Kulam, Omachish Secha. The whole world will accept the O of Hashem's divine Malchus upon them. Simlech Aleim, Hail Elamved. You'll be the Melech on the whole world from that time on to everlasting eternity. HaMalchus Shehar, you are the one who has the Malchus. Timlach Bekavit will be a respectful Malchus. And furthermore, he says that you, Klal Yisrael, will be shown to be Hashem's special people. V'yibashur melech asif rasham yachid shifti Yisrael. People were able to see the godless of Klal Yisrael in a functional role in bringing the world to this ultimate goal of Hakaris Elokis, Malchus Elokis, Avedis Elokis at the end of time. We therefore see Tamidim and Tamidos, the power of the Yom HaNorayim, the dream of the ideal concept of a spiritual society full of peace and love and kindness, and all the various dedications we make in our daily living to the God, the only God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful picture a beautiful prophetic vision of what we're going to be doing. But we as Klal Yisrael have to be proactive. We have to be working on this every day, because we have to be not only particulars at our own spiritual level, being Gai Kadosh, we have to be a Mamlechas Kain of Gai Kadosh, preach our mission and our message to the rest of the world at large, as the Kainim of Christ, as the collective nation, who are trying to give the world the ideas they need, as Avram did, as Avraham and Goyim, to bring people closer to Hashem. The more we work upon these things, the more we push forward this agenda, Hashem will give us Siyata Deshmaya to accomplish it. We should hope and pray this coming year, with all the tumult in this world, that Hashem will eradicate the rishus He promised He will help us eradicate. Lachem is Gog and Magog, Shefan will be over. The Rishayim who want to destroy mankind should be eradicated from the face of this earth if they don't want to do tshuva. And the whatever part of the world's left should recognize the Malchus of Hashem, live together Ba'achtus as one united universe of human beings dedicated to Avat HaBriyas and all the levels. And we should be zocht to fulfill our unique functions as Klal Yisrael Umas Olam, us observing Tayag Mitzvahs, them observing the Zay Mitzvah Neinavach, having a concept of dedication to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Inyan Eloki I mentioned before, and society goes forward, Hashem's desire and fulfillment of what the world was supposed to be should come into fruition. Amen, amen. This coming week, we're going to be coming very closely to Rosh Hashanah. This Matzi Shabbos, we're already getting to Slichais. So let's get ourselves ready, get into the mood, and realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is bringing us to a finality. We're coming to the finish line. Let's hope and pray we'll see this year. L'shana hazeb Yerushalayim Erecha. V'biz Mashiach Mitzkein, Amen V'Amen. K'siv v'chsim v'toiva, agaben shtiyot to everybody.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah.com.